Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. Number 1.
Ground ball to short. Should be the final. Out. Jeremy Pena gets the tough Stephen Kwan. Kind of fitting. The Astros finally returned them 4 out of 5 times today to win this game 8-2 after Kwan owned them the first 2 days.
Yeah, man. Glad to see Stephen Kwan go.
He can play.
Yeah, man. That is a good baseball player, man. Really glad to see him go. That's what it sounded like when the Astros completed their series victory last night against the Cleveland Guardians. Of course, that is Space City Home Network on the call with Ty Callis. Look, man, I am not trying to get too excited about this. I don't want to buy in just yet. Don't feel like they've done enough, but I do got to give them credit, man. 4 out of the last 5. Playing a little bit better baseball, but this is the test. Big 3-3 here. This is the test. Hosting the Mariners, another viable baseball team, leading the division. And oh, by the way, they got a good pitching staff. And you got some serious question marks with your own offense, with your own bats. Really good test for the Astros, I feel like, coming up this weekend.
Yeah, kind of one of the things we haven't really talked about yet. When it comes to last night's game, Spencer Arrigetti was really good.
Man, I meant to mention that. Where are we at with Spencer Arrigetti right now? Because I feel like he's come around.
No, he's showing a lot. And, you know, I was a little skeptical just in hearing about him. Doesn't throw a ton of strikes, all that stuff. But he's gotten better as each start has gone along. And so I think that's been a really encouraging sign. And it almost feels like he might have jumped. I think he has jumped J.P. France in just kind of the rotation standings. And then he's right there right now with Hunter Brown. So really positive first, 3-4 starts for Spencer Arrigetti. And like, he definitely has something. Like, there is something there. That's not an easy lineup to face. Like, they're not the most, like, that's not a lineup that's filled with a bunch of big names, but he's basically he's a right-handed starting pitcher who's facing essentially all left-handed hitters, and he held up just fine against them. Really, he probably shouldn't have given up anything, but there was the misplay in the outfield between Myers and Tucker in that 2-run third inning. But other than that, I just thought he was terrific.
I screwed it up.
He's gotten a lot better just when it comes to putting hitters away. He's throwing more, so he's been a lot more efficient than I thought he was going to be. So the returns on him are really good.
Yeah, I'm glad Spo mentioned that because we probably should have hit on it earlier. This was actually the man of the hour after that start from last night.
I feel like even when things started to spin a little bit, I stayed in control, and that's something that maybe I haven't seen in some of my previous starts up here, is just like having that presence to make the adjustment pitch to pitch instead of taking another pitch to do it. And I think that that's the reason why I was able to have some success. Yeah.
He is essentially right now, based off of his last few starts, got to be in circle of trust of some sort. Like, how do you see this rotation shaking out once, I say this, who knows if it's ever going to actually get right, if everybody's going to be healthy at the same. The likelihood of everybody being healthy at the same time is probably low anyway, but let's just entertain it for the sake of it. How do you feel like this thing is going
to
shake out?
You know, I don't know. They're going to go to a six-man rotation probably next week once Christian Javier comes back. Javier is going to make a rehab start for one of the minor league affiliates over the weekend. And then we'll have to wait and see. Jose Urquidy is getting close. My guess is he'll start a rehab assignment next week with, I don't know, probably Sugarland. I believe they'll be in town next week. So that'll probably be three starts. So you're still looking at 2.5-3 weeks before they get all their starting pitchers healthy, or at least the guys who are going to be able to pitch before the All-Star break healthy. And then you have McCullers and Garcia further down the road. But it's a good problem to have, because it wasn't that long ago that they were having to call up guys who probably shouldn't be starting games in an emergency start against the Rangers. So I'd rather be where they are now than where they were 4 weeks ago.
What's up with Christian Javier's neck, man? Are we just going to have to deal with the mysterious he slept wrong and had to go on the injured list? Like, is that...
You said it perfectly yesterday, B. It completely reminds me of the whole Correa situation whenever the masseuse broke his rib.
I ain't saying
like,
that.
I'm just saying there's... Like, we didn't get all that at first.
I ain't saying they
lying.
Well,
you don't even know what I'm saying, Spo. I'm saying, like, it just feels like something's missing.
That's my point. It's like, I ain't saying they lying. I'm just saying it's weird.
It's not the first time that they have had a pitcher go on the IL for this reason. Happened with McCullers a few years ago. It's happened with other guys. It happened with Yuli Gurriel, had to go on the IL for a similar reason. Like, sometimes sleep back. And it's not great if you don't have full function of your neck as a professional athlete.
They need to. I mean, man, we need some sleep practitioners on staff, man. Get these boys right. Hey, look, we got a little bit of somewhat breaking news here with the Astros. I kind of wish Ron was around to check this out.
Very interesting.
Yo, the moment that one Ron Hughley has been waiting for damn it, I don't know how long. It's been Ron Hughley, the one that I've seen, calling for two-hole tuck. I feel like the term was coined right here on this very show, two-hole tuck. And would you believe, all right, we got the lineups out for tonight's game. The Astros are hosting the Seattle Mariners. We know Ronel Blanco is on the mound for the Astros. George Kirby is on the mound for the Mariners. Here is the lineup for your Houston Astros. Jose Altuve, no surprise there, leading off. Two-hole tuck. Kyle Tucker in the two-hole. So they move around him and Yordan Alvarez, who is batting third. Batting fourth is Alex Bregman. Batting fifth is your shortstop, Jeremy Pena. Catching is Yainer Diaz. First baseman, John Singleton after that. Then Joey Loperfido and Mauricio Dubon to round out the lineup. Spo, I got to get your immediate reaction to this decision. It kind of feels like an easy one given some of Yordan's struggles, but are you surprised by this?
It's about Bregman more than anything.
It's more about
Bregman's the one who really gets
I misspoke. Yeah. Bregman's struggles. We literally just had this conversation yesterday, Clint and I, about Bregman in the two spot. And, hey, man, it's time to get him out of there. I just misspoke there. Bregman in the two spot, his struggles. What do you think about moving Kyle Tucker into that spot and not Yordan?
It's fine. I think you know me. I don't make a huge deal about, like, lineup construction. I think you just want guys who are going to produce. I do like Tucker in that spot because I do like having someone with speed in that spot.
And they don't have a lot of guys like that.
And Tucker, you know, has been very good. You know, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, but he's going to work at bats too. And I think that's what you like about Bregman in that spot, is that Bregman is almost always going to give you a professional at bat. He's been chasing a lot more this season than he has in the past. Tucker has not been chasing at all. So you have the very aggressive Altuve hitting leadoff, and then you have Tucker, who might work the count a little bit, and he's obviously been very good to start the year.
Yeah, and for all the reasons that you just laid out, I don't have a problem with this at all. But I am curious, just like, why not Pena? Does he not make sense there? Like, he's
going good where he's at.
Yeah, that's true.
I think part of that is you don't want to maybe mess with a good thing with him at this point. Like, he's been hitting in the middle of the order and he's been really productive. The question though becomes, at some point, do you have to move Bregman further down? And the problem that they run into is, I don't necessarily know who you put in that spot if you are going to move Bregman further down from fourth, because I don't know if they necessarily want Pena in that fourth spot. I don't know if they would necessarily want Yiner Diaz in that four spot. And then after that, you really don't have any other option. So I see a lot of people asking, well, why don't they move Bregman down to six, seven, eight, something like that? And I think part of it is just that you have guys, everybody else in the lineup hasn't really hit in that spot before, or hit in that top four. And I don't know if you really want to move them up into that spot and maybe put a little undue pressure on them.
Big three at three, number two.
All right, so in the Eastern Conference, NBA playoffs here, two teams advance. Pacers beat the Bucks in six. Knicks beat the 76ers in six. Interesting to me that, you know, this is kind of the story there. The common theme is injured Giannis. So Bucks without Giannis. And Embiid kind of just playing on a, you know, with injury, playing through injury. And so they obviously, neither one of those teams were whole. If you were to ask me, like, it's just weird seeing a Giannis Lillard team and an Embiid Maxi team lose to Halliburton's Pacers and Jalen Brunson's Knicks, respectively. Like, I just, if you had asked me at the beginning of the year, I'm like, nah. But of course, you tell me Giannis isn't playing, then I guess that's how that would go. But
I had them both.
You had them both? Of course, because Spo knows, right? But piece of news here, and this is probably expected, but it is worth noting. The Lakers have fired Darvin Ham after two seasons as their head coach. Kind of could see this coming. That's a team. I like Darvin Ham, but that's a team that looked like it didn't know what it was doing. And it sounds like they like Darvin Ham too, but eventually lost faith in him as well. The players themselves.
It wasn't a surprise. That was being leaked before that series even finished.
Yeah.
So I think that everyone kind of figured that he was out. I don't know. You're kind of pinning the blame on him when it really wasn't all hit. Like, I don't think he was perfect by any stretch, but he's not the one who traded for Russell Westbrook. He's not the one who made some of the other decisions that they made. So I feel kind of bad for him. He waited a long time to get an opportunity, but he didn't do enough with that roster. It's really as simple as that, because while it wasn't a great roster, you had LeBron and Anthony Davis healthy the entire season and you finished eighth in the West. Like, that's not good enough when you have those guys playing healthy. And some of the lineup stuff that he did wasn't great. He had Austin Reeves coming off the bench for part of the year. He couldn't get, like, the starting lineup correct. And so, I don't know, it just, I understood it. And that is that's a very tough job.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. It is a tough job. I feel a little silly for asking this, but I'm asking anyway, because it is the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel silly for me to say this, but I'm going to do this. Is that a desirable job right now in this moment? Like, is that a job that you want? I don't know.
Not if you're like somebody in like a Darvin Ham position where you've been waiting for to be a head coach. I don't think that's a job that I would want, because you basically, if you don't win a championship, then you're going to get fired and it's going to probably ruin your hopes of ever getting another job.
Or if you do win a championship and it goes bad the next year, you might get fired. Like, all of that's in play.
But then that guy, you know, they fired Frank Vogel pretty quick, but he still got another job after that. Yeah. So if I'm a veteran coach, yeah, I'd want it. Or if I'm someone who's close with LeBron, and LeBron's a free agent, but the assumption is that he's going to go back there. And so if you at least, Ty Lue's been mentioned already for that job, and obviously Ty Lue has a relationship with LeBron going back to Cleveland. JJ Redick has been mentioned for that job.
I was literally about to ask, is the podcasting and social media space kind of laying the groundwork for a JJ Redick opening there?
I think the expectation is that he's going to get a job eventually. I don't know if it's going to happen right now, but I asked somebody who kind of knew what was going on with Charlotte, because he interviewed for the Hornets job. And I said, well, is this just more like a headline grab than an actual interview? He said, no, he's actually, like, he's being seriously considered for that job, because he does have, there are a lot of Duke people that are in that Hornets front office. So there's going to be some desire for Redick. I don't know if it'll be this year, but at some point he'll be a head coach.
What do you think about Jalen Brunson carrying the Knicks the way he has? I am pleasantly surprised by this. Like, and obviously he was great last year for him, but I just didn't. Like, I knew he was good. I did not know he was great. He is great.
I think it was Becky Hammon was on whatever the NBA show is, and it's like, he's not a one. And I kind of agreed with that. I really did. I mean, he's, what, 6'2"? Like, you don't see a lot of number ones.
That's what they list him at. He does not even look that to me.
Yeah, he's not like an elite shooter or anything like that. So I kind of agreed with that. But he's proven a lot of people wrong, and that series was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, the last three games of that series were such a blast. It was just tense. The crowd was great. Every possession mattered. in those games. It was just a lot of fun to watch. It was a great ending. The Sixers are really good.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks will just run through Indiana in this next series just because of how much better the Sixers were. Like, this is going to be such an easier series for them just with the physicality that they play with. Indiana won't be ready for that. Indiana doesn't defend at all. And I think you can say the same thing about the other series that starts tomorrow, the Denver-Minnesota series, where a lot of people are really high on Minnesota right now, and I get it. They're really good. But the team that they just played is nowhere near the team that they're about to face.
Oh, Denver?
Yeah, yes. No. And also, not. Denver struggled with the Lakers in that first round series, but the Lakers are a better team than Phoenix. So if Minnesota had played the Lakers, Minnesota would have struggled with the Lakers as well. So it's I think you're going to see some chalk here coming up.
You think we're going to see some shock here coming up?
No, chalk. As in the two seeds are going to win. The favorites are going to win those two series. I think right now, I think that Denver will have a little bit of trouble with Minnesota, but I don't think that series goes more than six. And if it went five, it wouldn't shock me. And I think the Knicks could get past the Pacers in five games.
So until we saw what we saw from the Knicks, I kind of went into this assuming that this was on the east side. That it was just Boston.
Oh, it is still.
You do still feel that way. Yeah. So I'm not crazy for thinking that this is just a race to lose to Boston.
Yeah, all likelihood. Boston's just too good.
I've thought that all along.
And especially with all the two best teams that could have really given them a run in the East were Philly and Milwaukee, and both those teams were hurt.
Yeah, they lost their stars.
Yeah.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Somebody we know fairly well, Patrick Beverley. What the hell's going on with Pat Bev, man? I love Pat Bev's story. You've told it multiple times online, on the air. It is an incredible story, the Patrick Beverley ascension, his success story, okay? Hard scrabble. You want to talk about getting out of the mud, as the kids like to say? Patrick Beverley got it out the mud, and he's 35 years old now. His career is winding down. He needs to be starting to think about the transition. I think he already has. What's wrong with my man? Like, why would you be sabotaging your post-playing career at the age of 35 by doing silly stuff like throwing basketballs at fans and then doing this with a reporter, with a journalist?
Here.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to
you?
I do not.
So you can't interview me then? Okay. No disrespect. Well,
Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe.
Dude, and he did it again. So, like, he since apologized. The producer who is in question from ESPN came out on X/Twitter and said that he apologized. Since then also, though, because you know he was doing some work with ESPN, Tyler, did you say they've banned him from the studios?
Pat Bev has been banned from the ESPN studios, including where he makes appearances with, I believe, First Take and another show. Yep. He can't go in there no more.
He's on Get Up sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Get Up, yep.
What the hell? Why is Pat Bev sabotaging his post-playing career at this big old age?
I don't know. It was
strange, right?
It was the whole thing was just really immature. And I don't know exactly what he was thinking, because he probably saw someone who he didn't know, and she was not, she's just kind of holding the microphone because Jamal, who she's talking about, is Jamal Collier, who's one of the ESPN reporters. She's the producer basically just holding the microphone, and he probably thought that was somebody who wasn't all that important. And he thought that he could kind of have a moment with somebody who he didn't think was important. And it turned out, she's kind of important. And it's kind of, treat everybody the way that you would treat somebody, treat everybody properly, because you never know who this person is that you aren't treating well. And it turns out that this producer for ESPN, who's highly, highly respected in that building, that's who he went off on. And that's who basically is, like you said, that's the reason why he's banned from that company at least right now.
A place where he has a very good chance to go work and make some money, make some pretty good post-playing money. I did not understand. I didn't know what the hell's going on with Pat Bev. It shocked me.
And Pat, I don't subscribe to the pod either, and I'm not going to subscribe to it was just so, it was just corny and dumb, and somebody like Pat Beverly should be, I would hope at 35 years old, be above this stupid stuff, but he's not, and he's going to wind up getting suspended for throwing the ball in the face of a fan. He did it twice. Like, it's one thing to do it once, and then you do it a second time. Like, he's going to wind up getting suspended. Like, he did it. He really hurt himself yesterday.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, what is the payoff there, Pat Bev? Dude, do you get it together? You might have really hurt his image there, like you said. All right, there is a Texans coach that I don't think we're talking about nearly enough. Nick Caserio talked about him on a different program not too long ago. We're going to bring that to you here on The Drive. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is The Drive, but there is no Sterner, no Hughley today. Brandon Scott and Adam Spillane filling in. We do have T-Mill behind the glass.
Where they at?
Holding things down for you. Man, that's a good question. Where are they at?
Where are they?
Why my boys ain't work? Why they not at work? Hey, they supposed to be at work.
I want that Sterner vacation plan, man.
Hey, I need to get on it, man. Whatever I agreed to or negotiated when I got myself... to become an Odyssey employee, I wasn't doing it right, man.
Right.
I should have been like, hey, you know what? I want the full salary, but I want to work half the time.
4 days a week.
Just a little bit here and there.
I will say, I walked in, Tyler was looking happy.
some relief. Some relief.
I was just pumped to be doing a show with you fine gentlemen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it was.
Getting a little addition by subtraction there.
I think it was more the absences.
Yeah, he knew that between myself and Spo, there wouldn't be nobody breathing down his neck. I did come in there telling him what audio I wanted, but you know, I'm like the chillest person that you can find.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it wasn't going to be none of that. It was extremely laid back, extremely relaxed here on a Friday. Fair enough. So, if
Monday
they had
comes around and there we go.
Hey, look, if they had been here, I do want to get to this. If they had been here and if everything had been normal today, this is what would have happened. Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley would be in, but they wouldn't be in studio. They would have been out at the Insperity Invitational. And in case you hadn't heard, today's opening round of the Insperity Invitational was canceled due to weather. For anyone who wanted to go and see this free PGA Tour Champions event in the Woodlands, make sure you head over to InsperityInvitational.com for the weather updates. And that's where you can get all the information as we head into the weekend. So weather's affecting the Insperity Invitational. I don't know if the weather is exactly what's affecting Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley, the reason why they don't want to show up to work. But we do know that it's impacting the golf tournament. Ron has an excuse. His birthday is like literally in 2 days. So this is like a...
But it's not today.
It's not today. Nope. And it's not today. My man,
but
did...
he's still not here.
He did do the...
birthday week.
I'm going to do the birthday... Birthday week adults are interesting to me.
They are.
There's
some that are birthday month people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is even weirder.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I'm going to be honest here, man. and Ron's turning 40, so that is a milestone. I get that. It's a special birthday. But I have a tough time with adults who expect you to take their birthday seriously.
When's Ron's birthday?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Today's the 3rd.
Is he in on Monday?
I believe so.
But not today.
But not today. Or yesterday. Or Wednesday.
Is he in on Monday?
I think so. I could be wrong. You never know with these two.
How many days you need off? Jeez.
Didn't you just hear the man say that people do birthday weeks and months? Something, and that's my point. I'm saying I have a tough time taking adults seriously who want you to take their birthday seriously.
Remember,
not a child.
I was in here last Monday.
Yes.
Last Monday or the Monday before?
Yes.
Did the show. I was straight to Minute Maid.
Grinding.
Doing double.
I mean, well, that's what we do. That's what I mean. I got a different situation going on now, but that's how we get down.
3 days for the birthday. Ooh, boy.
3 days. Look, it's here.
Hey, your birthday's coming up, B. You got vacation planned?
They don't know nothing about that grind. Yeah, but mine is gonna be, I'm going to miss like a day of work. I think I'm going to miss 1 day.
You deserve
that. Hey, look, if anybody should be taking off a week, I'm the one. Let me just, or Spo. But Spo will take off for 2 weeks and be in Europe doing his thing. I haven't even gotten to that part of life yet. So, yeah, man. Shout out to Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner.
Happy birthday, Ron.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ron.
Enjoy your week.
Shout out to Clint for making the most of that vacation policy, that very friendly vacation policy and PTO policy that we have here at Odyssey. Maybe the shout out really goes to Odyssey for holding it down.
Wait, Tyler just texted us. Don't hurry back.
Take your time.
Dropped in the chat. Dropped in the chat. Hey man, y'all, you sure you seen? Hey Ron, did you go to all of the boroughs? Did you get to Staten Island?
I think you can skip over Staten Island.
Did you get to Staten Island? Nah, if you're Tyler, you try to keep him away. Hey, did you get to Staten Island? Go see what's down there.
I'm drunk, I guess.
See if they got any Wu-Tang exhibits or something. I don't know what would Staten Island have other than do they have anything other than Wu-Tang?
Fresh.
I got it. That would be the only reason I'd go. It's like, hey, where is the Wu from? And then I want to get the straight up out of there immediately. Get me back to Brooklyn or Manhattan. Stat. Pronto. Anyway. So the Texans have a coach who I feel like is not getting nearly enough attention. And I'm only saying this because personally, I'm really excited to watch this offense operate this year. I know a lot of the free agency focus was on the defensive side of the ball. The first players, two of the first three players that they drafted were defensive players. The very first player that they drafted this year was a defensive player. There has been a very much a defense focus from the Texans this offseason. And then when we even get to the offense itself, we think about C.J. Stroud. We think about them trading for Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. Of course, Cade Stover sounds like Nick Caserio's favorite draft pick. We'll get to favorite draft picks a little bit later on in the show. But I feel like the guy that people don't really talk about enough, because, I mean, it is further down the ladder, but we spend so much time on this program talking about this team, I feel like maybe he should get talked about enough. It's one offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick.
Okay. You ever watch Bobby?
Now, keep in mind, Bobby Slowick came into this job last year relatively unknown or not necessarily like super highly regarded or heralded. He was a first-time offensive coordinator, first-time play caller. He himself was supposed to be a question mark for the Texans. Rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, rookie offensive play caller. And lo and behold, it goes out. They go out there and it works out for everybody, right? DeMeco Ryans is in the running for Coach of the Year. Obviously, C.J. Stroud, we know, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think Bobby Slowick was in the mix for Assistant Coach of the Year as well. And he obviously did some job interviews for head coach. Got himself a raise from the McNairs with the Texans to stay here. And then you look up quietly, or maybe not so quietly, the Texans went out there and got some more weapons. Traded for Joe Mixon, traded for Stephon Diggs. I am excited about watching this offense play. I was also excited listening to Pat McAfee stroke a little bit of Bobby Slowick and Nick Caserio's ego when Nick Caserio joined him on the Pat McAfee show earlier in the week.
Don't you think in protest of nobody hiring Slowik as a head coach, you should maybe not let him coach mm-hmm. this year Ooh. Just because the NFL is screwing this guy? He should be a head coach somewhere. He's right not now. Supposed to be back with C.J. Stroud. He's supposed to be gone. You guys need to take a stand. Don't let that man on the sideline for the good of football.
We'll lock him in his office, I guess, and not let him call plays. But
perfect.
No, all right.
Perfect.
Deal. Write it down.
Deal. I like just two games a year. Two games a year. Yep. I think you should take a protest. Make it the Indianapolis Colts. You obviously assumed he was gone. I assume everybody did down there.
Well, you never know. I mean, Bobby is a bright coach. He's very well respected. He interviewed for multiple teams and deservedly so. I mean, Bobby's going to be a head coach here at some point. So we're just grateful that we have him for another year for however long it is. And it's great to work with Slo and the rest of the offensive staff and the coaching staff on a day-to-day basis.
Bobby's gonna be a head coach here some point. Good to have him here for another year. Here's
Dang
my
it, Bobby.
Man, here's my question that I want to pose to the people and to you, Spo. It feels like, maybe just kind of just went without saying, but it feels like if everything goes correctly, if everything goes the way Texans fans and maybe even the Texans themselves anticipate that it's gonna go, this should 100% be Bobby Slowik's last season as the Texans offensive coordinator.
I mean, maybe. I think you would have said the same thing about Ben Johnson, and he's still in Detroit. So, yeah. I mean, some of it is just circumstance and what teams are looking for. I didn't think that, like, Bobby Slowik would have been, like, a home run hire last year. I mean, when you consider that it was the first year that he had the job.
Yeah.
That's not a whole lot of experience, and the guys that got – Was there a coach who got a head coach job over him that you're like, oh, no, that should have definitely been Slowik? Maybe Dave Canales? Maybe that might have been the only one?
Yeah, they would have been similarly situated.
Yeah, so I don't, like, sit here and say that, oh, Bobby Slowik, it's a travesty that Bobby Slowik didn't get a job.
Yeah, there's a lot of shucking and jiving there with Pat McAfee.
But he also wasn't perfect last year, and I think that's important to note. Like, he's got some room for growth.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Like, they ran the ball way too much. They were not good at running the ball, yet they continued to try to establish it. You saw what they did in that last Colts game of the season. That was not a great Bobby Slowik game because they kept trying to run the ball. They kept trying and trying and trying, where they had Nico Collins basically anytime they wanted him.
Yeah.
And yet they did not. That game was a whole lot closer than it should have been when you consider that they had no answers, the Colts did, for Nico Collins. He could have had 20 catches in that game. Gus Bradley was not going to adjust anything with how they were going to cover him, yet they still kept on trying to run the ball and establish the run. Like, that's the one thing that Bobby Slowik needs to get away from this year, especially if they can't do it. Like, you can still run the ball, but you should not be, when you have C.J. Stroud, you should not be 50-50 run pass on early downs. You need to be 60-40 at worst.
And see, last year I felt like Bobby had enough of an excuse as the first year guy, but now he's got all of this hype. Bobby Slowik's got to cook. Bobby's got to cook. All right, that there is no doubt about it. Bobby Slowik 100% going into year two with all the hype that's surrounding him now, which I think is tied to C.J. Stroud's success, and obviously, you know, Bobby Slowik had something to do with that. But there are no excuses now. You have the year under your belt, the success from that year under your belt, the head coaching interviews that you've done, the weapons that you've now added to the team. You do hope that the offensive line is healthier and more productive. To me, Bobby Slowik 100% has to go out there and cook. I thought that was interesting that Nick Caserio basically kind of indicated, hey, man, we don't expect this guy to be a long-timer around here, but certainly some expectations that exist with Bobby Slowik in particular and that offensive unit that I don't feel like existed this time a year ago. All right, he's Adam Spillane. I'm Brandon Scott. T. Mill is in the building. It has been a week since the NFL draft, and we're also a week away from rookie minicamp. I want to ask the people, I'm going to ask Spo, who's your favorite rookie? I know you ain't seen him play yet. You haven't seen him play in the NFL, but indulge here. Who's your favorite rookie? That's coming up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Live Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Brandon Scott and Adam Spillane in for Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley here on The Drive. We got T-Mill riding with us. Look, I'm going to give all of the Texans rookies a chance. You know, they're young. You know, there's no reason to, like, just crap on a pick, I don't think. I don't think there is much of a reason to, like, just be all the way down on a pick. You might have your questions. You might have your concerns. You might even not believe. But one thing that everybody's got is a favorite. Everybody's got their favorite. They got that pick. They're like, you know what? I think that there's something there. There's some untapped potential. I think that could really be a guy. It could really be a kind of an unsung hero for the team, either immediately or further down the line, whichever the case may be. My favorite is Kalen Bullock. I can just tell you this now. I was at NRG Stadium with you, Adam. I think we were both there for day two when they picked in the first couple of rounds here, or their first couple of rounds, rounds two and three. And for me, the one that got the greatest reaction of, like, oh, intrigue, was Kalen Bullock. It was the speed. It was some of the raw ability. It's the fact that he is somebody that needs some molding, some coaching, like not anywhere close to a finished product. Listening to Nick Caserio talk about him after the fact and say, you know, like, I don't feel like he just gives out compliments. He's like, man, this guy's best football is probably in front of him. And you like to hope it is. The guy's being drafted into the NFL. Hopefully he plays his best football going forward. But that's the rookie favorite for me, the drafted rookie that I'm going to be watching out for. I also think there's a particular need at safety. I think that he could be the succession plan to Jimmy Ward or a hedge for Jalen Petrie, depending on how he responds after a rough sophomore year. So that's mine. I want you to hear Nick Caserio talk about Kalen Bullock when he was on with Payne and Pendergast earlier in the week.
Kalen's a great kid. He's young. He's 20. I think he's 20 years old or just recently turned 21, but he's a young kid. But I would say he's pretty mature for his age. Really unique kid, really great kid. And it was a player that we felt had some intriguing qualities and traits physically. Different but similar to Stover, that there's certainly a developmental aspect with him. He certainly needs to get stronger. He'll be the first to admit that. But athletic, moves well for his size. I mean, 6'2", 195, real smooth, plays the ball really well. So as a player that we feel, if we were able to get in the program, that had a shot to develop and hopefully become a pretty good player.
Yeah, and this is, to me, something that they're lacking. Probably underrated about the Texans, especially with all of the hype and all of the excitement with their success, was the fact that they did have a tendency to get beat deep. They also had a health issue. They had health and performance issues at the safety position. So I know we talked about them needing to get stronger, and he's not regarded as, like, the best tackler in the world. Those are things, aspects of his game that he's certainly going to have to improve. And I don't want to, like, sidestep him or pretend like they don't matter. But the reason why I'm excited about him is because I'd like to think that this coaching staff, D'Amico Ryans in particular, that they're going to lean into what the guy does well. And that is play center field. That is try to not get beat deep with corner speed, with hopefully safety instincts. So that's the one for me. I don't know what you think about this, but I want to hear from the people. 2713-572-4610. Do you have a favorite player in this draft class, or is it one of those where no first round pick, none of the picks were really overwhelmed you much? Where you sit on this one?
Well, I think that you bring up a good point about safety play and limiting big plays, just because that cost them multiple games.
It did.
Remember the Jacksonville game here? How many big plays did the Jags have in the passing game?
Yeah, too many.
The Amari Cooper game. How many yards did Amari Cooper have that game?
To start the game, yes. Like from start to finish, he dominated them, and a lot of it had to do with poor safety play.
So that was a big hindrance for them defensively, was that they gave up way too many big plays, and that's how you lose games in the NFL right now. Like you want to make teams try and string together long drive after long drive after long drive, because it's really hard to do. But if you just are giving up big chunk plays like that, it makes it a whole lot easier to score against you. And you don't have to worry about trying to string together drives. So, yeah, I think that that's a really important improvement that they have to make this season, whether, you know, that's from the guys that are already on the roster or one of the guys that they brought in. For me, Blake Fisher, the tackle, I think is interesting just because if you go by history, he's going to play at some point. And I think that people will tell you that, you know, he shared the offensive line with Joe Alt, the fifth overall pick at Notre Dame, and he might be the more talented of the two. And had he returned to Notre Dame for his final season, he probably would have been a first round pick next year. So, like, that's a guy who's really talented, who is playing a position where you need multiple guys. Nick Caserio said this, you know, on Friday, that you need three or four tackles and they're probably all going to play. And, you know, you have Titus Howard in there at right tackle right now. Titus Howard didn't play a single snap at tackle last year. Laremy Tunsil has missed, you know, he missed multiple games last year. He missed a big chunk of time in 2021. So you never know what's going to happen there. So I said Blake Fisher because while it feels like you're good at tackle, he's probably going to have to play and contribute at some point this year.
Yeah. So,
and also really quick, down the road, as the contracts for Titus Howard and Tunsil become maybe an issue, that's somebody that you can slide in at one of those spots and be a starting player for you moving forward.
Yeah, so I like the angle that you took because I'm going to actually combine these two, man. They're both at positions that on the surface level, maybe superficially, you might say, oh, they're good. They're good at tackle. They're good at safety. I know I was guilty of it. I'm just going to speak for myself here and own this. I had a little bit of that. I'm like, oh, I don't know if you really – need attack. The only time I wanted a safety is when all these all pros start to get released there at the start of free agency. I'm like, oh, go get one of those guys. But otherwise, I'm like, I don't know if there's a desperate need at these particular positions, but peel a layer back or give it just a little bit more thought. Yeah, man, Jimmy Ward is closer to our age than he is the rookies. Okay. Jalen Petrie, obviously, we mentioned, had a down year. So that's the safety side. The offensive line. As much as I've gone back and forth on this, as much as I still truly believe that Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard should be your tackles for the next two seasons, the reality is I don't know what's up under the hood, and the Texans do. It is the concern for me is not Blake Fisher as a draft pick or how good is he? Is he the right pick? None of that. It's what does it say about what they think about their tackle group and maybe the contracts that they just gave out. We've seen them move off of extensions. The next that they extended Malik Collins. Next thing you know, Malik Collins is being traded for a ham sandwich. This is more money, I understand, but it could be an aspect of they know a little bit more than we do about those injuries. We watched Laremy Tunsil limp around the locker room all year, and he played through it, credit to him, but it is not a given as much as I've wanted it to be that they are good at the tackle positions.
You should never feel like you're good at any position in the NFL because you are one bad practice away, one bad game away from now all of a sudden you have no depth. And that happens a lot where all of a sudden you're down to the bare bones at a single position. That's why I'm always a big believer in just draft to your board.
Yeah.
Because while you may feel like you have depth at this spot, you get two guys hurt and now all of a sudden you're having to, you know, look for free agents to try and start games for you. And just look at the Astros. Dana Brown's like, oh, yeah, no, we're good at starting pitching. And then all of a sudden you got to call up Blair Henley to make a start for you against the Rangers the, you know, first, second week of the year. So never and even last year, like, I think they probably felt like, oh, we got a great kicker. Fairbairn's great. And then all of a sudden he gets hurt and you got Matt Amendola out there.
Yeah.
Or Cameron Johnston, great punter. And now all of a sudden he gets hurt. Ty Zentner's got a punt for you. So you should never feel – I think the only position they should feel good at is probably, like, long snapper because – Weeks is solid, and Weeks is probably never going to never going to go anywhere. Yeah. Even quarterback,
he's Iron Man.
Even the quarterback position, like C.J. Stroud is great, but he missed two games last year,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're having to go with, you know, Case Keenum or Davis Mills. So you should never, don't ever feel like you are too good at any single position because it can change in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and I did love the element of the draft where it seemed like with their first pick, so they had 2 second round picks, right? With the first second round pick, it felt like they drafted for need.
Mm-hmm.
With the second round pick, it felt like they went with what they thought was the best player available and probably an underrated need, speaking to your point of, hey, you can never have too many good football players at any position. So I think that there is something to that. He is Adam Spillane. I am Brandon Scott. T. Mill is in the building. Adam just mentioned the Astros there kind of as a throw-in. We're going to get to that on Dirty's Daily. The Astros got a really big series coming up this weekend against the Mariners as they host them at Minute Maid Park. We will discuss it coming up next. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.